I want to begin by just thanking you, each one of you, for the participation that you have in what I would call the compassion ministry of our church. This past year, our food pantry, through your money and food donations, as well as a $4,000 gift from the Old Town HOA, were able to provide food to 3,200 people in the community, to help around 15 to 20 church member families. And it's interesting, we were trying to put a number on how many professions of faith that we saw over the course of the year. We didn't come up with a good number on that, but you know, the exciting part is that's the Lord's doing. We have set the table nicely for people to be able to give their lives to Him. Under our Thanksgiving assistance, the adult grow groups donated $500+ that helped the pantry to give out 100+ turkeys and canned goods to complement what was already provided there. They provided $400 in gift cards to the Baptist Community Center to help provide a meal to dozens of families. And then under the Christmas family help, the adult grow group, plus one person from the community together gave around $3,000 so that we could help 9 families with the funds. Several of these families used the funds to provide toys for their children and a Christmas meal. Blue Santa gave us some leftover toys, so we were able to give toys to 4 of those families that had children. That allowed a couple of families with 5+ children to also use some of the funds for bills they needed to pay. One single mom with 3 young boys, with the oldest being autistic, was able to get toys from us, and we asked her to feel free to use some of those funds on herself, and she acknowledged that she hadn't done anything like that for herself in a long time. I mean, folks, that's just extraordinary. You did an excellent job helping others do the holiday season. During COVID-19 pandemic, our church, your church, donated over $13,000+ to help 20+ needy families who had financial needs since last March. So I want to begin today by just thanking you for being willing and open and able to say, Lord, what I have is yours, that Lord, I will approach the things that I have not in a tight-fisted way, but an open hand that you may use as you will. So let me just offer a prayer of thanksgiving for these things. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to give. God, our desire and the joy that we have in giving comes from the fact that we are created in the image of a giving God. You gave it all. You gave your only begotten Son. And Father, we as Christians, as followers of Christ, God, we desire to give. So God, whether we financially gave, whether we gave by way of prayer, God, maybe we physically took and offered assistance, but in whatever way, God, we pray that you would bless, that you would multiply, and that God, your kingdom would be advanced. People would come to know you as a result of these gifts and God, this sacrificial giving. So God, we thank you. We look forward to an opportunity to be used of you in this next year. It's in your name I pray. Amen. To some of the thought processes that I have, I didn't know how many of you would take me up on the Bible reading plan through the year, but it is a really good number. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. I hope you'll drop me a note, send me a text, maybe an email. Hey, David, I was reading this passage, and it just so happened, I love that, it just so happened to be right in line with what I was dealing with and where I was at. I want to thank you for thinking through where we're going to go next Sunday. Next Sunday, January the 3rd, I'm going to ask you to prayerfully this week identify 5 people that you know are not Christ followers in your neighborhood, in your work, in your family. And I want you to come prepared to do something with those names next Sunday. Now, if you say I have more than 5, that's fine. But I really want to ask you to be engaged in that. You know, when I started my ministry, I started as a youth minister. And so as a youth minister, it was my responsibility every Sunday to give a children's sermon. And I always liked it at the end of the service when folks of all ages would say, hey, you know what? I got that. I got that this Sunday. That was good, you know. And not bringing glory to me or anything, but there's just something about learning from objects. I have had an absolute blast in inviting you to come and to bring a golden bowl with you today. Some of you have asked me, have you ever tried this before? No, never have. You're it. If this does not go well, we probably won't do it again. I have a feeling it might just kind of click. It is very participatory in nature. And in just a moment, in absolute silence, I'm going to ask you to bring your bowl forward. I have cleared out with the help of Linda and Daniel this morning the poinsettia as we moved them out. So I'd like to focus them in this area here. Just kind of remember where your bowl is so later afterward you can come and pick up your own bowl. If you see somebody's bowl that you like more than your own, at the end, you know, cut a deal, ask him if you can have it, whatever it would be. I was so blessed this morning as I was walking down this aisleway and I got to meet Miss Wanda. If you don't know Miss Wanda, raise your hand. I'm going to embarrass you. Right there. This is what comes when you read the Bible through and you're familiar with passages of Scripture. She asked me this morning, does this idea of the golden bowl come from Revelation chapter 5? And I said, absolutely. So I want to read for you as we begin, and just before you start to bring those up, Revelation chapter 5. Now, what's fun is if you are accepting the challenge to read the Bible through, you're going to get to Revelation. And let me go ahead and tell you, if you've not read through Revelation, it's pretty confusing. A lot of images, a lot of things going on. And what it will do, your reading will probably cause you to find a commentary or Google online to see if you can understand what the passages are all about. So I want to begin in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, to give you context of where our sermon comes from today, or where this exercise comes from. This is talking about the Lamb taking the scroll. The Lamb is Jesus. It says, then I saw in the right hand of one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seal? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look in it. I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look in it. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into the earth. He went and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. And then verse number 8. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lord. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So here we are. We're standing at that critical time when Jesus proves that based on his sacrificial death, he is the one that's worthy to open the scrolls. There are four beasts. And if you want to think in terms of that, you can do a little more research on that later on. But these four beasts are in the form of a lion, an eagle, a calf, and a man representing earth, air, water, and fire. There are 24 elders that are represented in this picture. We're not exactly sure who they are. They are not angels, we don't believe. They all have thrones, they all have crowns, and all they're doing is worshiping God. Some people have said or feel that the 12 Old Testament tribes are representative of half of that 24, and that the 12 apostles in the New Testament represent the other 12. We don't know. But we know from the story that there are at least 28 bulls. But what to me is interesting is that each of these bulls carry with them the prayers of the saints. I don't know if you've ever, you know, been in love. Back in the day, we used to write notes to people on cards, send them in the mail. For some of our younger folks, they'll not know what that is. And man, you would get a great note and you would hold on to that note because you wanted to read it over and over again. Think about the God of the universe collects our prayers in these golden bowls. And they are the aromatherapy of heaven. Now, I know a little bit about aromatherapy. My wife loves to have our house smelling just awesome. And we have all those little plug-in things with, you have the little bulb in the bottom with the liquid. Everybody know what I'm talking about there? And every now and then, just my task-drivenness kind of overwhelms me and I mess things up. So I saw one of them empty. So I went into the bathroom and I got the box of all of the different scents, not paying attention that they all are different scents, and went throughout the house and plugged them in. So you could walk 10 steps and you'd get a whole new aroma. And my wife, with great sense of smell, said, "What have you done?" In heaven, the incense of heaven is your prayers. So what I want us to do, and I've thought about it, Daniel. I thought, well, maybe we'll get one of our pianists and we'll come up here and we'll play some music and you can bring your bowl. No, we're going to just do it in silence. And what I want you to do is to pick up your bowl. Now, if you brought one for each member of your family, fine, y'all come. Or if your whole family wants to bring your bowl, y'all come. If you brought one for yourself, you come. If you need some more bowls, I got about 10 on the front pew. And I'm so thankful to our church staff because they were buying bowls like crazy. I don't have any stock in gold bowls, so I'm just telling you, I didn't get any monies or royalties off of that. But I want to flip over real quickly to Revelation chapter 8, because in Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it talks about these bowls again. It says, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." Wow. Heaven is completely silent. That's why we're doing it silent. "Then I saw the seven angels who stand in the presence of God. Seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel with a golden incense burner came and stood at the altar. He was given a large amount of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up into the presence of God from the angel's hand. The angel took the incense burner, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it to the earth. There were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashing of lightning, and an earthquake." My vision is this: that God has collected each of our prayers over the course of our lives. And those prayers, although he knows everything and forgets nothing, he loves just the aroma of our prayers to him. So as you bring your bowl, please do so quietly. Find a place where you would lay it here. If you want to pray before you leave, you can do that. And once all of the bowls are here, then we will move further. Now, if there's somebody around you that can't bring a bowl up and they want you to bring it up for them, please do that. Okay. So, Lord, we're not for sure what it would look like in heaven. But God, in my mind, what an amazing sight to see. Bulls of all shapes and sizes. God, when they were established, I don't know. When we were born, maybe when somebody prayed for us, when we prayed for ourselves. But God, I would imagine that those bulls, because they're of pure gold, are precious to you. Thank you, God, for never putting us on hold, never making us wait. God, always eager to hear our prayers, our petitions to you, our praise to you, our adoration to you. And God, as we leave today, as we take this bowl back to our home, maybe, Lord, there'd be a place that we would put it, and it would remind us, God, of how precious our prayer is to you. Lord, you tell us in Scripture that your house should be called a house of prayer, not a house of worship, not a house of preaching, not a house of service, not a house of anything other than prayer. And God, I pray that whatever it is that we commit to do in this next year, that prayer will be front and center, foremost. Father, may we, as your word tells us, to pray without ceasing, continually. So, Father, today, hear our prayer. And God, as we look at our heart, as we enter into prayer, God, may we do so, God, in a way that honors you in your name. Amen. In the work that I do as the association, people will ask me to do various things. And there was a time when somebody would ask me to do something, and I would flippantly say this, well, I can't do that, but at least I'll be praying for you. I have since changed, and here's what I now say. I'll be praying for you, and if there's anything less I can do for you, you let me know. One of the most significant things we can do for one another is we can pray. Yesterday, Thompson and Hope, our son and daughter-in-law, Marley, were at our house, and we were talking about this. When do we get our bowls? Do we get it when we're born? Do we get it when we're conceived? Is there a chance that we have a grandparent or a parent who has prayed even before we were conceived and we get a bowl there? Is there a chance that at the beginning of the world, when God knew all the people that were being born, we all got a bowl at that point? And I began to think to myself, I would love for my bowl to be overflowing with prayer. I mean, I'm just honest. Maybe there's somebody there in heaven is manning the bowls. We got to get a better bowl. Smith's down there praying again like a crazy man. I don't know. But I love that passage in Revelation chapter 8 because it talks about once the prayer has gone, what is it? It's like lightning bolts from heaven. And I want to tell you folks that if we will be about prayer, it's the most significant thing that we could be about. As I was preparing and putting my thoughts together, I found an article, because it's amazing when you Google something these days, the stuff that comes out. So I'm Googling golden bowls and prayers in heaven, and then I probably put the word Bible. And in the midst of that, I pull up this article of about a 900-year-old Chinese bowl that Sotheby's auctioned off. They thought it would bring $13 million. It sold for $38 million. And all it is porcelain. I mean, porcelain is kind of the everyday dishes that we have in our house. In fact, just for fun, I found out this morning that on Etsy, 35,597 porcelain bowls are on sale right now. You don't have to rush to your phones. You don't have to buy. 35,597 porcelain bowls are available at an average price of $29.49. Does that not sound like an infomercial or what? But call quickly. The gold bowl that we have in heaven exceeds that 900-year-old, $38 million bowl. Amen. And when we come to realize that, it changes everything. And so this morning, in conjunction with that, I'm going to ask you this question. Don't answer it just popping off. But my question is, are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? Now, I have some friends that are pilots. I don't know if we have any pilots here, but one of the things that I'm very impressed about pilots is they have a checklist, and when they are going to fly that plane, they check all of those things off. And if you're flying with somebody in a plane, you're really glad that they check all of those things off. Oh, we got no air in the tires. No big deal. You know, we'll probably make it. No, I want them checking it all. In fact, I have a friend. He is very, you know, very specific. His is laminated. He's got it in a binder, and he meticulously goes. And on occasion, when I've flown with him, he'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. This is taking a lot of time. No, take all the time you want. No problem. Take all the time you want. But I wonder, when we launch into intercession, which means praying for somebody else, I wonder if when we talk about corporate prayer or even personal prayer, I wonder if we've ever asked ourselves some questions. Have we examined our heart's condition? Are we ready? Are we in a position where God's able to hear us and respond to our prayer? You say, what do you mean? Well, on our screen, I'm going to give you seven questions that you can jot down, you can think about as you enter into prayer. Question number one, am I ready to pray? Number one, have I confessed all known sin? Do you know sin has an impact on our prayers being answered to God? Now, in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, this is what we read. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. It says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities, our sins, have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. In fact, it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. If you and I are ready to pray, then we are going to have a part of confession in our prayer time. Now, when I was a little boy, my parents were involved in a particular denomination that believed that every time that you sinned, you had to get saved again. Let that sink in for just a second. When you're a little boy, that is pretty ominous. I mean, I was getting saved multiple times a day. You don't need to know the context. It's just every time you sin, you got to get re-saved. That's not the case. But if we want God to hear our prayer, if we want to have those open lines of communication, we confess to him. Now, you don't have to necessarily enumerate all the sins that you can imagine, but it's a confession to God that, God, you are God and I am not, and God, I am worthy and I have sinned, and please, please, God, hear my prayers. It says in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to ask him to forgive you, you just confess it. Question number two, are all my relationships with others made right? What? For me to be ready to pray, it has something to do with my relationships with others. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That is, we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm reading the next point, so back up, forget that. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So there's a part of our prayer that if we're ready to pray, then our relationships with others need to be right. Thirdly, and I'm sorry I got these out of order, are you seeking his will in all things? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That is, we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Now, some people have misinterpreted this, and they said, I can ask God for anything I want, and that means I get everything I want. No, not as long as it's not in God's will. It needs to be in accordance with God's will. And that's why when we go to God in prayer, just as the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, what does it say? Thy will be done. Sometimes when we go to God in prayer, what we do is we're not so much praying. We're just telling God, this is what I want. Go ahead and give it to me. And that's not prayer. Prayer is taking things to God and to say, God, my heart is heavy for these things, or where I'm at on this. God, I give it to you. And it's fine for us to tell God what we think with relationship to it, but literally it's a, God, your will be accomplished in all of this. So have I confessed all known sin? Are all my relationships with others right? Am I seeking His will in all things? Number four, are you seeking to glorify God above all things? Is God's glory more important than anything in this prayer time? John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. John 14, 13 and 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. We are seeking to glorify God in His name. Just so that you'll know, beginning in January the 17th, on Sunday mornings, we're going to start having a prayer time together. We'll keep you posted on where the location is that. We're going to do that on Wednesday nights as well. I don't think we start until toward the end of the month on the Wednesday night program. But we'll be coming together and we're going to just spend time in prayer. We're not going to so much talk about prayer. Have you ever gone to prayer meetings like that? We're going to teach on prayer, but we never stop and pray. We're going to pray. And one of the kind of prayers that I like to pray for seeking God's glory and all that is so that kind of prayers. Dear God, bless this person so that they can do this, and so that they can do this, so that you can be glorified. This so that prayer is an exercise of praying in such a way that God would receive glory in that. Question number five, are you depending on the Holy Spirit's guidance? Now, this is pretty powerful to me as you think about prayer. There are times when you pray and you're not even exactly sure what it is that you're praying for or what's going through your mind, and you just very quietly just allow God to speak through you. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. What does that look like practically? For me, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll find myself praying about whatever the Lord brings to mind. Sometimes I just, it's kind of one of those deals where I just sense that God's asking me, you know, to pray for a particular group. This morning I wake up and the Lord reminds me that last year at this time we were in Romania. We went to Romania because we were dropping off Bethany. She was going to be there. She had planned to be there for 6 months, only stayed for 3 months. And I can remember thinking about the fact that, man, Lord, you were so good in preparing all this, because when Bethany was planning to go, she had housing taken care of, and about a week or so before we were to go, they said that housing option is not there. And I so appreciate Bethany's confident trust in God, because here she has never lived at home by herself, and she's going to live in a two-bedroom apartment by herself in a foreign country where she doesn't speak the language. And the Lord this morning, as I was praying, said, just thank me for providing for Bethany. And I just sent a little note to my friends in Romania They're actually 8 hours ahead of us, so they're already past evening worship. And just said, thank you so much for being our friends. Thank you so much for the opportunity to pray for you. And I imagine one of them will text me back and say, hey, thank you. God put you on my heart, or this kind of thing. God's Holy Spirit directs us in prayer. Question number 6. Are you trusting God in spite of what seems to be? Are you trusting God in spite of what seems to be? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you need a verse of scripture to memorize, let me highly recommend this to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to think about directing your path. Good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We spend so much of our time leaning on our own understanding, but we have such a limited perspective. And the question is, are we trusting God in spite of what seems to be? And then finally, will you praise God no matter what happens? Will you praise God no matter what? Job, unbelievable story of Scripture. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, he comes to this point of saying, though you slay me, my hope is in you. Imagine when we realize that God is in control, that we live in a sinful and a messed up world. And as a result of sin, so much of all the bad that we experience is related to that. It's not that God wants our lives to be terrible, but it's just as a result of sin. But what I want to tell you, even in the midst of that, God answers prayer. And he is faithful to answer those prayers. Romans 8 and verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to pray? I want to encourage you to think through these as kind of a starting point for you as you begin to pray. And then just begin to talk with God. Talk with God in the quiet. Talk with God as you're walking. Talk with God continually throughout the day and allow God to work and move in your life. So in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for you to respond. And because you've been just so great this morning, maybe during the invitation time, you just want to come to the front and just kind of kneel. We're not worshiping the bowls, obviously. The bowls have no significance in and of themselves. But maybe you just want to come and offer a prayer to the Lord. But I really would ask you to think about finding a location in your house to put the bowl. And when people come and they say, oh, that's such a beautiful bowl. That's our family's prayer bowl. Well, what is that? Who knows? Maybe you'll even write some prayers and jot those and drop them in there. The Lord has not forgotten one single prayer that you have ever uttered. But it could be today that you've not given your life to Jesus Christ. The first prayer that Jesus hears is that prayer of repentance when I say, Jesus, come into my life. Now, here's what's interesting to me about prayer. And I found this on the grandest scale serving as a police chaplain. You can try it out if you're, you know, if you're kind of a nut extrovert like I am. But I can go to people and I can say, hey, can I pray for you? And almost 100% of the time people say, yeah. What do you want me to pray for you about? Well, pray that I make $1 million. Or I've actually been on Sixth Street. See that girl over there? Pray that she will go out with me. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. But here's what I typically pray. So let's use the illustration of the girl. Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity to pray for this guy, and usually I know his name. And God, he wants me to pray that you would give him this girlfriend. But God, more than anything else, he needs a personal relationship with you. God, I pray that he would understand that you died on the cross for his sins, and that you rose again, and that God, he can have a personal relationship with you. In your name I pray, amen. I've not ever had anybody punch me in the face for that. I hijacked his prayer request just a tad. He's praying for a girl and I'm praying for Jesus. But I'm telling you, there's something in us that is drawn to prayer. And I invite you to be involved in that. Now, next Sunday, when you come, come with your five names of five lost friends, because what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and let you in on the secret. We're going to pray all year long for those five people. And we're going to see many of those five people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Because in Scripture it says, if you pray anything according to my will, God speaking, I will answer that prayer. Do you know what God's will is? That none would perish, but all would come to repentance. So when you pray for somebody to come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are praying in agreement with his will. Now that person has free will and they can decide whether they want to do that or not. But here's the other thing that we're going to learn next week. And it's going to be, I think, an exciting exercise. We're going to be talking about how to pray for an hour. And you go, oh my goodness, what would I pray for a whole hour? And what we're going to talk about is 12 five-minute segments that we're going to go through, and we're going to learn how to pray. And imagine what happens when First Baptist Church Pflugerville, the body of Christ known as First Baptist Church Pflugerville, begins to pray together. I think it's going to be one of the best years ever. Because we are seeking him. And when you seek him, you find him. And when you find him, God has exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think kind of response back. So I'm going to invite our staff that are here, if they would come to the front. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you want to come and you want to kneel down here, pray, or talk to one of our staff, we invite you to do that. We will we'll do our very best, and we will, you know, maintain distance in this kind of thing. And in just a moment after we conclude our service, you'll be able to come and pick up your bowl and or negotiate with somebody for their bowl. Let me pray for us, and as I pray, will you stand with me? So, Lord, I thank you for the privilege it is to remind us of that picture in heaven someday, where the Lamb of God is opening the scrolls, and those 24 elders and those four beasts, God, are praising you and worshiping you. And they're carrying these golden bowls of our prayers. God, what a beautiful picture that is the aromatherapy of heaven. So God, today I pray that every person that God is here, every person that's listening online, God has given their life to you, has a personal relationship with you, which now opens that portal of prayer. But God, if they don't, I pray today that they would come and that they would give their life to you, that they would know you, Father. Lord, hear our prayers as we enter into this next year. God, last year we had no idea what we were dealing with, and had we known, there's no way, God, we would have even known how to begin to pray. So God, today we're going to pray and ask that you receive the glory in all things. And God, we're going to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to you. And God, in that, you tell us that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and mind. And God, that's what we're looking for, the peace of God. So God, as we respond today, may you lead and guide us in your name. Amen.